Good morning, Sacramento, and all creatures great and small in the surrounding area. It is Carmichael Dave, Kyle Madsen. You know him as Kevin Mastodon. It is The Drive, 6:01 on a Friday. And I hope, and I'm always sensitive to those of you that don't, but I do hope this is the start of at least a few days off. But special shout out to those of you out there that do not have those days off. And let's be honest, there's a lot of people that don't.
Hey, and if you are lucky to have those days off and you have to go out and interact with people who are working, it'd be nice.
Be very nice. If you are part of the mess because it's your fault in malls or other retail stores this weekend, and it's your fault for waiting this long, and that's why you're in the mess, and that's why you're having to park 2 miles away from wherever you're going, please just remember the people that work there probably make less money than you do. There's a very good chance of that. And even if they don't, they want to be with their families. They don't want to be there. They're dealing with people all day long. Be kind. That's a great point, Kyle. Just be a good person. This is our final show until next Wednesday. Yeah, jeez. Well, we are working through the holidays this year. Normally, I take the next 2 weeks off, but I'm going to take a week in February. So I kind of maneuvered things around a little bit, and it's nice. There's a lot of sports that go on during the Christmas and New Year's week. So we will have local coverage. We'll be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, and then Tuesday through Friday of the following week. But we will be off the next couple days, Monday and Tuesday, for Christmas. Checking the text line, which is always a bad idea coming into the show. Top story of the day should be Bitcoin crashing. It was fun while it lasted. Well, hey, let me tell you, and I've been told by so many people, be very careful with this stuff because, you know, you don't want to be seen as financial advice, and, you know, I'm not an expert, but I have been dabbling in Bitcoin since the middle of November, just for fun, just as almost like a fantasy football. You know, I'm not putting
because it's fake money.
Yeah, except it's real.
I know.
Let me just say this. I will tell you what I believe, and I will tell you what I did with my Bitcoin. I sold most of my stuff about a week and a half ago, and I'm on the sidelines right now, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I'm not really worried. And I could be completely wrong, completely off. This could be the opposite of what's going to happen. But just using sometimes the keep it simple, stupid method, here's what I think's happened. I think over the last couple months, a bunch of middle-aged dads like me and moms have looked at this Bitcoin stuff, which we don't really understand, but we see that a lot of people are making money. We download the Coinbase app, and we put whatever we put in there, and we like to watch it go up and down and up and down. Well, there's a huge, you know, a lot of these gain 30, 40, 50, 80%. Litecoin was like up 100 and something percent last week alone. So what I think happened is I think you got a lot of people that didn't understand this thing and put money in it a month, 2 months ago. I think Christmas is coming up. I think people are spending a lot of money. I think there's a lot of people that are pulling their money out of it. I think there's a lot of people that are pulling their money out of it because, hey, we need to pay for Christmas, and I just made some money on these coins that I don't understand. So I'm sitting on the sideline, and I'm waiting. I'm watching my Coinbase. In fact, right before I came in, I was looking at my old Coinbase app. I'll update it right now. Woo! There it goes again. It's watching the numbers go down and down and down. And all four, Bitcoin Cash, which is brand new to Coinbase this week, Ethereum and Litecoin. Just to give you an example, Kyle, in the last 24 hours, Bitcoin down 27%, Bitcoin Cash down 41%, Ethereum down 32%, and Litecoin down 36%. Those are huge drops. I'm going to sit on the sideline, and I'm going to watch, and then sometime over, you know, today, tomorrow, sometime over the next few days, I'm putting it all back in. That's what I'm betting on. So in a couple weeks, whoever texted me that, text me back, and we'll see. Did I lose all that? Is the coin thing done? Is everybody cashing out? Are these all going to be worth a penny? Or did Carmichael Dave call it right? That was your Carmichael Dave investment moment of the day. Not an expert. Please do not invest what you're not willing to completely lose. Okay. We have 5 minutes in the segment. I didn't get a chance to get to it yesterday. We're going to do some Christmassy stuff today, but we have a lot of sports stuff going on, including the top story of the day. And sometimes this happens. You go to bed, you wake up, and you have your top story. Top story today, without a doubt. Legendary broadcaster, Dick Enberg, passed away. He lived a long and full life, I believe, if I do the math right, 82 years old. We'll talk about Dick Enberg, and we will talk about we'll have some sound from him throughout the program. All right. So every other year, Kyle, my in-laws come into town, and they live in Los Angeles, and or Riverside to be exact, and they come up and visit. And here's the thing. I know the cool thing is, you know, people don't like their in-laws. I'm fine with my in-laws. They're fine. They're absolutely fine. I have no problem at all. The problem is that my wife just loses it when her parents are around. She completely changes. And I get it, and I feel for her, but she becomes a big ball of stress. And we always try to keep a nice bottle of Woodford Reserve and some ginger ale available for my wife at all times to put in her sippy cup. Well, every time they come up, and I've been married to my wife now 10 and a half years, I understand that during the holiday season, because my wife will not lash out at her parents, she will lash out at me. I am, and I'm happy to be. I will be the pincushion. I will be the martyr. I will be the one that takes the fall. So not only are her parents coming up for Christmas, but they're coming up and they're staying for 5 days. And we have changed the guest room in our house to an office. So usually what we will do is we will offer our bedroom to her parents, and we will sleep either in the man cave or on the couches downstairs. Well, the problem is I found out not only are they coming for 5 days, they're bringing their dog. And this is a big – remember the other day, Kyle, we were talking about how dogs are better than cats? Well, this is where that argument stops, because the other end of that coin is, except when it's a big, stinky, hairy, fluffy dog that is always, always, always sniffing your junk and trying to jump up on you, just trying to come on up and say hello and gets on the furniture. It's one of those dogs that thinks it's a person, and they allow the dog to think it's a person. The dog's just everywhere. Gets in the trash, that type of thing. So I wasn't very happy about that. So I said, hey, what about this? Because her parents said to her, because the dog is so old, it can't make it up the stairs, and if it's not with us, it will start whining and freaking out. And yes, there's about 90 other solutions that would make sense, but this was their solution. We're going to sleep downstairs. We're going to bring blow-up mattresses on stands and all that stuff. We're going to set up a bedroom in the living room, which is great. And we're going to sleep right in the middle of the living room downstairs. Well, that living room, there's no way to get out the front door without going through the living room. I get up at 3:30 in the morning. I'm out the door usually 4:30, 5 o'clock. So I said to my wife, what if I get your parents a hotel room that is pet friendly, and I'll get them one. It's right over there in Roseville. It's 7 minutes from where we live. I'll pay for it. We'll pay for it. We'll set it up. You got to be careful when you say I'll pay for it, because, you know, same group of money, my wife and I. I'll pay for it, and they'll be comfortable. They can sleep as long as they want. The dog can be comfortable, and then they can come back and forth. It has the added benefit of having that separation time each and every night.
Right, and then they're not in your home, which probably helps you and the wife.
Very much so.
Sorry, helps the wife, which in turn helps.
Thank you. And she says, no, they'll think that's rude. Okay, well, why don't, I'll call them and explain it. And I'll give them the opportunity they would never tell you that. I said, okay, well, hold on a second. They're coming up here. I already know that the holiday is going to be a little bit off because you're going to be off, which always goes over well when I say that. But on top of that, come on, they're bringing the dog. Like, we got to have a compromise here. And then I said, well, how about this? What if I got the hotel room and I stayed there? I'll stay at the house all week. And then when it's time for bed, you know, around 8, 9 o'clock, I'm usually in bed by 10, I'll go over to the hotel and I'll do my show prep and everything over there. I'll sleep. I'll wake up, I'll go to work, I'll come back to our house. I'll spend the whole day there, but I'll just spend the night at the hotel. I said, is that better? She goes, yeah, fine. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. If that's what you want to do, go ahead, is what she said. Well, folks, that's always a fun trap. And I fell right into it, knowing I was falling face first into a bear trap. So I booked the hotel. So yesterday, my wife sees the charge on our card that I've booked a hotel for a week. And she says, you seriously booked the hotel? I said, yeah. So what'd you do that for? I said, you told me to. You told me to book the hotel. She goes, my parents aren't going to stay there. I said, I know I'm going to stay there. And she goes, oh, really? So you're going to stay at a hotel all week long during Christmas? I said, I'll stay the night at the house on Christmas Eve. I'll stay the night, of course. Wake up in the morning. I'll be the first one up. I'll get the music going. I'll get the hot chocolate and coffee going. I'll put the fire on. I'll get everything ready for the kids, because that's what it's about, kids coming downstairs and everything being perfect for Christmas. And she goes, oh, okay, well, that's cool. She goes, so it's kind of like, and by the way, no offense to people in split homes, but she said, oh, okay, so it's kind of like you're the stepdad coming in. You know, we're separated and you're coming in from the house. I said, no, I'm going to be at the house 19 hours a day, or, well, 17 hours a day. So the way it ended up is I said, listen, I know where this is going. I know this isn't going to end well. So why don't we do this? I offered a number of choices. You told me the choice to take. Let's just stop talking right now and limit our conversations to text messages from now until a week from Saturday when your parents depart. And that way we won't get in the inevitable knockout, dragout, holiday, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble that we do every other year. And then we make up on Christmas. And then we fight again after. Let's just not do that. So there's been a lot of back and forth in my friend circles, because here's exactly what happens. When the fight happens, we'll break off, and then she'll go to her friends. I'll go to my friends and see who's right and wrong. And I'm getting alternate options. Now, of course, one option is bite the bullet, stay at the stinking house. That's just not realistic to me. It's just not realistic. I think it's very cool to offer her parents a hotel. She didn't want to go with that. So Kyle, my question for you is this, and then we'll break. Am I not martyring myself here, biting the bullet? I'm going to have to be away from my family every single night for the week of Christmas, going all by myself to a hotel room where I will be alone and watching bad television, perhaps Netflix, maybe some video games, because I'll probably bring my stuff, and just being lonely for the holidays for the sake of parental comfort and relaxation, and perhaps a little bit of mine too. I feel like I'm the victim.
No.
I'm the Christmas victim.
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
You brought this on yourself.
Come on. Is your response going to be, please tell me it's not, but if it is, I'll respect you in the morning. Is your response going to be, dude, just do what your wife says and go with the flow and bite the bullet for Christmas?
You can't say, I'm willing to be the pincushion. I'm willing to be the punching bag. And then be like, I'm out. I'll see ya. Well, there's so much that goes into Christmas that is not that is not just on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve.
If you're afraid of
you have to tell your wife and kids, all right, I'm leaving to go to bed.
Well, I'll tuck the kids in every night. That's generally when I'm gonna go, is after they go to sleep. Now they'll know, but I'm just gonna explain, I don't wanna wake up Grandma and Grandpa, and yes, I said Gamma, because that's what they call it.
Sure.
A lisp.
No,
Gamma and Grandpa. I don't want to wake them up in the morning, so Daddy's going to a hotel, but I'll be back. I'll be back in the morning after work, and I will. I'll be home by 10 a.m., probably about when they're waking up. Nah, screw that. That's a lie. They're up at 6 a.m., but still.
I'll have to think about this more.
If you
I feel like I feel like it's a cop-out by you.
Last thing, Kyle.
Wait, hang on now. Let's wait. When are they leaving?
They're arriving tomorrow. They're leaving a week from tomorrow.
So
the day before our New Year's extravaganza party.
Right. So you're only going to be working like three of those days.
Shut up, Kyle. But yes, you're right.
Oh, this is a total cop-out by you.
I'm working Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But in addition to that, you know, Kyle, if you're worried about a gas leak and you're worried about a spark igniting that gas, and you know sparks are inevitable isn't the proper course of action to turn the gas off? That's what I'm doing. I'm eliminating the gas leak so that the inevitable sparks that pop up during the holiday season do not ignite an explosion at my house, an explosion of fighting between my wife and myself. That's what I'm trying to avoid. And by avoiding it, it seems I have stepped right into the explosion.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we have some lists to get to. We have some sports to get to. We will get to Dick Enberg next. We have a big, big football weekend coming up. And oh, by the way, the Kings look to continue their streak. And today's Kings trivia for our final pair of Kings Spurs tickets. Today's Kings trivia brought to you by Kyle Madsen. And let me tell you, I previewed this this question. This is a fine question indeed.
Thank you.
Very, very proud of you. The drive continues in 3 minutes. Lock in at Sports 1140 KHDK. Well, yeah, Dick Enberg passed away yesterday morning in his home. According to his wife, he was 82 years old. And to say he was a legend in the sports broadcasting business is an absolute understatement. We're going to get into that a little bit later through a couple of the top five things out the window. We'll get into that top five when we're talking about legendary announcers. And you can go on and on about what Dick Enberg did, whether it was his baseball coverage. Obviously, you heard football right there with the famous Ernest Biner fumble. Olympic coverage, which was amazing. And catchphrases like touch 'em all. And of course, oh my. He announced and hosted the Tournament of Roses Parade for many years. And I want to get into this also a bit later. There's a lot to unpack when it comes to Dick Enberg. I also want to get into, there's just a strange phenomenon, and it's something as I get older, Kyle, I understand a little bit more. When you have uber successful people in their profession, and I will often, when I do get a chance to rub elbows with these people, which is rare, one of my favorite questions to ask is, why are you still doing it? Like, why? I'm working right now. I'm working to get to a point where I can go away and relax. And they don't want that. They go until they can't go anymore. And whether it's Dick Enberg, whether it's Johnny Carson and a ton of other people, a lot of times they will. And Dick Enberg's last baseball game was in 2016 for the Padres. And he's gone a year plus later. And I'm always fascinated by the connection a lot of times with lifers like that who pass away shortly after retirement. And I wonder if it's a second cousin to when a married couple, they're married for 60, 70, you know, odd years, and one of them goes and then the other goes. It's either they know ahead of time or it's just the way the world works. Dick Enberg worked his entire life and he had 1 year to not work, and now he's gone. And when you say life well lived, Dick Enberg lived a very good life. So he is gone, 82 years old. And for guys like us, obviously guys like you listening and girls listening right now who were touched by Dick Enberg and remember his calls throughout the years in the broadcast business, it always kind of hits you a little extra when one of those guys passes away. So a lot of memories of Dick Enberg throughout today. Well, we've got a big, big football weekend. No football last night, but we've got a double up on Monday Night Football. And, of course, that's Christmas Night Football. Your Raiders take on the Eagles in Philadelphia at 5:30. The coverage kicks off with Steelers and Texans, Pittsburgh visiting Houston at 1:30. So you have a couple of what would appear to be lopsided games. Pittsburgh favored by 9 as is Philadelphia also favored by 9. You have a number of other games. Kyle, this is week 16. This is also, and you have to allow for it, it's a big deal. This is also the Super Bowl week for a lot of fantasy football teams. We're going to have Dave Richard on just after 8 o'clock in his normal Friday spot.
Yeah, with a quick scan of the games this weekend, I think there's like one or two, maybe three, that have no playoff implications. But everybody else needs wins at least to try and keep their playoff hopes alive. So,
well, coming up,
it should be a really fun weekend.
In four down territory, amongst other things, we will pull some of those big games and analyze those
definitely
throughout your program. Second straight four game road trip. The Kings go 2-2. They have won 6 of their last 6, and as we explained yesterday, they have played 7 more road games then home games. Kings come home to face the Spurs, and we've been giving you tickets all week long. We'll continue to do that right around 8:30, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Tickets to tomorrow night's game in San Antonio. It's a quick one-game homestand. Then they are back on the road, sort of. They take on the Clippers on Tuesday, which kind of stinks for them. They fly out on Christmas, but hey, it's the NBA. Kings will actually not leave. This is what's interesting. The Kings will not leave the state of California until their game Monday, January 15th. They'll leave that Sunday, obviously, to fly to Oklahoma City. So they get a chance to be home, which is nice, for a couple of weeks, or at least in the state of California. They have a couple of quick trips down to Los Angeles. In fact, between Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, and January 13th, so that's just over 2 weeks, they play the Clippers three times. They play them Tuesday, they play them Thursday, January 11th, and then they flip around. It's a home and home, and back on the road January 13th. Not a likely win tomorrow, Kyle, but this team has shown signs of life and a nice mixture of youth and veterans. We'll go over that a little bit later. When we get back, we'll get back into Christmas here. A lot of people on the text line going back and forth off the last segment. We'll get to you guys. And, Kyle, damn it, you got me a present.
Yeah.
That means I had to get you a present.
No, it didn't.
No, I'm just kidding. I did get you a present. I got you a present, but I was going to give it to you Monday. Now I can't. Now I got to give it to you because you gave me yours.
No,
it's too late.
No. Oh, man.
It's too late.
I can come take your present back.
You tried to be nice, and you backfired the whole damn thing with your selfish gift giving. We're into it next on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. A lot of people on the text line split at 44-1140 on the great hotel debacle, whether or not I'm in the right or wrong. But this is a very accurate text that just came in from the 916. Dave, I can't believe you fell for the old, hey, if that's what you want, do it. That's like when my wife says, don't get me anything for Christmas or my birthday. I'm fine. Just spending time with you.
Yeah. My girlfriend said, don't get me anything. I want to go somewhere. I was like, oh, yeah, we'll go somewhere. So we're going to go do something, but you're also getting something. Because let's be real.
That is 100% right. There is nothing worse than I fell for that one time. We're going somewhere. And so when it came time for her birthday, I just got her a card. Or no, I'm sorry, it was Valentine's Day. I just got her a card. She got me something. And I had to do the whole, and this was on the fly lie. I had to do the whole, listen, I got you something. I know this sounds terrible. I got it off of Amazon. It hasn't come today. I feel just accept this card. Hopefully it'll come in the mail today or tomorrow. I went out to get lunch. I went down the street to Kohl's, and I way overspent on something. Came back, and I was like, surprise. It came in the mail.
Nice, dude.
Yeah, it was.
I can't be specific because I think my folks are listening. But what I got my parents for Christmas,
yeah.
I went to pick it up. Take it to my car. Check it out. It's totally destroyed. Like it was completely wrecked. And so go in and I'm like, hey, is there anything I can do about this? And they're like, oh, you can return it and order another one. I was like, all right. So now my folks' Christmas gift, which is like a, it's not like a, it's a, it's like a personal thing.
Sure, sure.
Won't even be here by Christmas. So
I feel like with your dad, because he's a rocket scientist, do you get him like whiteboards?
Yeah,
with like extra pens, just different things. Those silver balls that hit each other,
yeah,
the pendulum thingy.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of things that
graphing calculators.
All right, we got to get through this. We got a bunch of Christmas stuff. Feel free to participate. 339-1140, 44-1140. Do's and don'ts, and ifs and whats, and all that fun stuff. All right, number one, Kyle on the list here. Are you an open a present Christmas Eve person?
No.
That is correct.
I wanted to be when I was a kid because I found out some of my friends did that.
Yeah.
So I told my mom, I was like, hey, I was probably nine.
Sure.
I was like, hey, my friends do this. I want to do this. And my mom was like, all right. And so Christmas Eve, we're getting ready for bed, and she grabs a present. She goes, here, open this. And I open it, and it's like a T-shirt. It's just like a plain, just like, it's a fine shirt. But I was like, when you're nine, you don't want a shirt for Christmas. You want toys and stuff.
Yeah.
At video games. And,
uh-huh.
I was like, oh, that's it? Like, that's what happens if I don't want that anymore.
My wife overruled me years ago, and we do a Christmas present. And she'll pick out, like, a specific present for them to get Christmas Eve. It's not a big present.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but I've always disagreed with that. I think two things. Number one, not opening a present Christmas Eve teaches discipline. It increases the suspense of the next morning. But what I am a huge fan of, Kyle, what I am a huge fan of, I don't like doing Christmas Eve presents, but I always hold a Christmas night present back. My kids expect it now, but for the longest time, and that's from the movie A Christmas Story. Remember, he didn't open, spoiler alert, he didn't open the Red Ryder BB gun during Christmas, during the, no. He opened it at night when everything was done, remember? And then, you know, later on, he goes, yeah. Hey, or not at night, but later on, after he goes, hey, what's that behind the, they waited for the presents to be opened.
Right.
There's something special about, I think Christmas is over. Oh my God, there's one more gift. Yeah. All right. Number two, Christmas viewing, of course, sports. Do you watch any of the parades?
No.
Do you watch the dog show?
No.
I watch the dog show every year because I have to.
Huh.
Because that's what the kids and the ladies in my household always want to watch.
That's fine. I would do that, but typically it's we have Christmas music on the TV, whatever the Christmas music channel.
You don't do the Crackling Fire channel?
Yule Log? No.
No,
we don't. So that's typically what's on the TV. And then obviously there's Shooty Baskets, so we turn those on as well.
From the 530, I got thrown a Kings t-shirt at last night's college game at Golden One Center. I'm putting it in my wife's stocking.
That is elite level gift giving.
When is it no longer appropriate to have your Christmas lights up?
I think you get until the following, like, Friday.
Oh my goodness. Oh, son.
What?
Wait till you, no. The week
like you get,
after?
Like you get, no. So, like, I'm saying for this year.
Uh-huh.
So you get, what is that, 4 days?
Yes.
So it's Monday is Christmas.
Yeah.
And then you get Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If they're not down by Friday,
uh-huh,
figure it out.
That's funny. That's hilarious to me. Yeah, the correct answer is the 1st of February. And you have to have your Christmas tree gone
by
Valentine's Day.
But are you firing up the Christmas lights every night until February 1?
I'm very techie, a super techie guy. I went out and got one of those $8
okay,
Amazon plugs that's light sensitive.
Uh-huh.
So they go on at night. And then they're off, you know, and I don't have to touch them. So
you're gonna have your Christmas lights fired up all the way through January.
I will have my Christmas lights fired up.
Oh, you're the worst.
All through January.
You're the worst. I'm gonna come outside your house and just roast you relentlessly starting Friday.
Hey, we can roast chestnuts. I don't even care. Here's the deal. My Christmas tree leaves whenever the Boy Scouts come by to do their Christmas tree collection. That's what they do. Ah, screw the break, Kyle. We'll break whenever. It's December.
Out of bed.
Anybody driving around right now, and again, as a father too, I'm very sensitive to this. Two kids that very much wrote their letters to Santa Claus, et cetera, et cetera. If you have children in the car, we're going to give you a moment to turn down the radio. Spoiler alert.
I have a secret to tell. I had a conversation with Santa.
Yes, we're going to. This is a Santa conversation.
Kids can't hear it.
Kids can't hear it. So, once again, turn down your radio if you have kids in the car. 3, 2, 1. One extra one. Okay.
All right. That's warning.
When is it?
And don't get angry.
And
at
I
us.
Still don't like talking about this openly. So, I'm going to use kind of code here just in case.
That's fine.
What is the appropriate age to tell the kids about your good friend Santa Claus? And adults know exactly what we're talking about.
I found out, I had kind of started to figure it out by the time I was probably 9 or 10. And then my brother told me right around that time.
Really?
Yeah. My brother's 7 years older than I am. And I told him, I was like, hey, I don't want to tell mom and dad, but like, this is what I think. And my brother's like, yeah, don't be dumb.
You know what the correct answer actually is? The correct answer is there's nothing to tell. There's nothing to tell because he's as real as you and me. He's as real as you and me. I've already gotten a couple questions, especially from my daughter, who's 10 and very precocious. And she's already given me kind of the stink eye, like, Daddy, are you serious? I'm like, and I go through elaborate explanations.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
And I'm like, oh, you know what? If you want to believe that, go ahead. See what happens under the Christmas tree, yo. Like, go ahead if you want. And then we watched Elf last night to kind of reinforce you have to have the Christmas spirit and believe in all that. Well, if you can't believe in that, what do you believe in?
Elf on the Shelf, yes or no?
We did Elf on the Shelf. We do Elf on the Shelf every year. I posted on Facebook this year. My wife, mother of the year here, right? She writes a note to the kids saying, "Hey, I slipped. You know, hey, it's our elf's name is Twiddle. It's Twiddle. I slipped on some reindeer poop and I hurt my leg. I won't be able to move around this year, but I still wanted to visit." And she actually wrapped Twiddle's leg in a bandage. No, it's not, because the only reason she did that was so she wouldn't have to move the damn elf. So I moved the elf this year. She just wanted to leave the elf on the shelf without it moving whatsoever. It is the laziest parent move I've ever heard of, dude.
That's incredible.
If Santa isn't real, who's the guy at the mall? Exactly. Here's a quick tip before we go to break, because we do have to break here. Number one rule, do not give your significant other any lingerie when you have family present. True story, I did this once, and the father was not happy watching his daughter opening up the... unless that was a situation where you bought it and put it under the tree and you forgot which one it was. Like, come on, you got to know
if that. If I did that, I would be like, "Hey, you're not opening anything. We will do all of these together.
Privately."
Privately.
Yeah, I think that's the thing you hold back until later on.
Keep it elsewhere.
You give her the Red Ryder BB gun a little bit later.
Is that what you call it?
That's exactly what you call it. NBA Hall of Fame nominees are out. And, the only thing better than playing basketball and going home in the NBA is playing basketball and going back to jail. We'll tell you what NBA player is currently serving a jail sentence.
Literally is in jail.
Yeah. But
it's amazing.
Except when he goes and scores basketball points.
Oh, my God.
The Drive next. Sports 1140 KHTK. A Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and all that fun stuff to you. It is The Drive. Same show today as ever on a Friday when it comes to guests. Sean Salisbury, we believe, will join us today. We missed him last week, so it'll be a special holiday edition of Sean Salisbury. Dave Richard will join us at 8:05. Many of you in your fantasy football Super Bowl this weekend, so definitely a time you want to get your questions in. We have the Basketball Hall of Fame nominees. We'll make this very simple, Kyle. Let's handicap these. We'll just jam down the list. You have a number of things. You have holdover candidates, female players, male players, non-players. Let's just start, of course, with the guys from the NBA. I'll say a name. You tell me if they get in this go-round. Ready?
Okay.
Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a no-doubter. Steve Nash.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ray Allen.
Yeah.
You think he gets in first time? I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, he got, what, two championships with the Heat? All-time leader in three-point shooting.
He won one with the Celtics, too.
Yeah, he got one. Did he get one or two with the Celtics? They got one.
I thought he got one and then two with the Heat.
That's right. Okay.
I think and plus his three-point shooting and all that. Yeah, I think
he
gets
all-time, in. All-time leader in made three-pointers. He's in.
Grant Hill.
No. I don't think he gets in first time.
I think Grant Hill is one of those if-only players. Yes. If only he'd been healthy.
Very, very good player who would have been a first ballot if he hadn't gotten hurt. But he'll get in eventually, I think.
Chauncey Billups?
No.
Agreed.
He'll get in eventually.
I don't think so. I don't think so. He's just not thick enough. I don't think so. He's got the ring, or maybe he's got another scud ring I'm not thinking of, but I know he's got the ring with Detroit. I just don't think so. I don't think he gets in. Richard Hamilton.
Rip? No.
No. I agree with you 100% on that. So Kidd, Nash, and Allen definitely in, according to the three of us. I don't know enough about the women's game to know who would get in or who would not. Becky Hammon, Katie Smith, Valerie Still, and Tina Thompson. I've heard of two of those players.
Tina Thompson and Becky Hammon.
Those are the two I think would get in, correct? Are we in agreement there?
Yeah, totally.
And probably because they're the two that we've heard of. So. Yeah. Let's see. Steve Fisher.
Somewhere Katie Christensen just sat straight up in bed.
I know. And that's the thing. If Katie were here, this is where she'd really be able to help us out. Steve Fisher is a coach, won a championship with Michigan. Also, he was Kawhi Leonard's coach at San Diego State. Willie West was a coach. Bob Huggins, a longtime coach of Cincinnati.
Huggy Bear.
And Ed Hightower. I would think Fisher and or Huggins get in. I would think so. Here's some notable holdover candidates, Kyle. You tell me if any of these guys are getting in this go-round. Muggsy Bogues.
No. Muggsy Bogues' claim to fame is being in Space Jam.
And the fact that he was 5'3", but yes, right. I agree with you. Maurice Cheeks.
Mo Cheeks? Didn't he just get a statue outside of Philly?
I think so.
No.
That sounds right, but I agree. No. Tim Hardaway.
Tim Hardaway.
Yep.
Isn't he already in?
No, he is not. Some people will say that he kind of got his chances messed up with his comments about homosexuals years ago. I think that's kind of gone by the wayside. I think he's just on the cusp.
Yeah, I don't think he gets in. I think he's the one member of Run TMC who doesn't get in.
Sidney Moncrief and Jack Sikma.
No.
Yeah. Rudy Tomjanovich.
No.
Player and coach. You know what? What a huge claim to fame for Rudy is, right? Other than, are you old enough?
No.
To remember the history, yeah, Rudy Tomjanovich was the guy that was just absolutely cold cocked by Kermit Washington in a brawl with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
right. Yeah,
and
that's right.
Literally rearranged his face.
Yeah,
it was terrible. Two more here. Ben Wallace,
dude, I've debated Ben Wallace on climate change 50 times. I'm joking. That was a misdirection. I've debated Ben Wallace's Hall of Fame candidacy. With my friends a whole bunch of times. I thought he was for sure. I was like, yeah, of course, he's in. He anchored a championship defense.
Eh.
He's really, really good. Defensive player of the year, but no.
He would be in the Hall of Really Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, really excellent stretch. But a Hall of Fame career needs to go, you know, a long time for me.
Last one here. Chris Webber.
Yeah, C-Web has to get in, dude.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he does.
I don't think he gets in. I don't think he ever gets in.
I think he gets in.
No championships. And he was, I think Chris Webber's another one of those for different reasons, but he's kind of in the Grant Hill category for me. Like, what if with Chris? What if he'd won the title in 2002 with the Kings? What if he had, you know, and so many things he's famous for. You know, obviously the timeout, like, it's still against North Carolina when he was in school. Being a part of the Fab Five, the Sox, the whole deal, the shorts. He was a tastemaker in the NBA, an influencer. There's no doubt about it. But was his career really worthy of the Hall of Fame?
He had shoes with spinners on them.
That's Latrell Sprewell, but you're talking about his Dadas. His Dadas, yeah. Supreme. Yeah, that Latrell had the spinners. Latrell.
I thought that was C-Web.
Latrell. Latrell had the spinners.
I was in fifth grade,
I
don't remember.
I had a pair, that's how I know. But you're talking about the Dada Supremes, which were fine shoes indeed. Dude, I just think I'd love to see him get in. I'd be super happy about it. Here's the other thing. If Chris Webber goes into the Hall of Fame, you think he goes in as a King?
Yeah.
He kind of has to, doesn't he?
I think he would have to.
Not going in as a wizard bullet. He's not going in as
a warrior.
No. He's not going in as a sixer.
No.
So that would be the second Sacramento King to make the Hall of Fame. It's tough because you could. I would put Mitch Richmond's career up against Chris Webber's career, and I don't think they're that far off. Richmond has a ring, but come on, it was like you're with the Lakers, old guy. Here's a ring for you thing. All right, we'll take a break. There you go. There are two screening committees. This will all be decided and announced during the NBA All-Star Weekend. You know who's not on the holdover list? Notable holdover candidates, by the way, listed is Kevin Johnson. That was a big deal for a couple of years. He was right there. I don't think that's happened anymore. No, his restaurant does not make the Hall of Fame either. From the 916, what you said about Chris Webber could be said for Yao Ming. Guess what? I don't think Yao Ming should be in the Hall of Fame, personally.
The Yao Ming's reasons for being in the Hall of Fame, I think, go beyond the scope of on-court.
You're correct, and here's my longtime contention. If Yao Ming is in the Hall of Fame, Vlade Divac is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's my thing. We'll take a break. When we get back, let's get into some football. We've got we'll preview the Raiders a little bit, look at the Niners, and we've got to pay that off. The basketball player, we'll do that at the top, who is currently making baskets and then going to his three hots and a cot. That's right. He's serving a jail sentence while playing in the NBA. We'll tell you about that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.